Hello, and welcome to our open coaching call for NEPT, the last one of November 2018, and we're here to support you in whatever way you need, whatever questions you have to answer, any labs you want to review, any questions at all. So anybody have anything for me? Be easy. Valerie just joined us. I don't know which Valerie, though. It just has a V.
It says Valerie.
It says Valerie, but it doesn't say which.
And just so you know, Lynn, you did, you were sent one.
You were sent to me? Maybe it's in your
were, see it.
It happens sometimes to me, too, but yep. It's,
usually I cut it and put it in my email.
So a trick that I have is I create rules for certain things so that they go in specific boxes. So that I can check those boxes. So I have a team one. I have one for our Teamworks, which is our project management. So I have different things that go in boxes so that it doesn't get lost in the jumble of the inbox. Anyway, might be something to look into.
What do you mean by that?
So I use Thunderbird. I mean, there's other things you can use. And I don't know how to do it in Gmail because I hate Gmail, so I don't use it. But you basically say if an email comes in with this from or this subject line or these words in the subject line, put it in this particular folder. And so instead of everything just going into the big old inbox, it gets pre-sorted for me and I can check for the things like, oh, let me check for my calls today or whatever.
Well, I usually just cut and paste off that main email into my calendar. So,
so that's why you're here. But,
well, I had one that was from an old one. It wasn't a current one.
I think we didn't send one the day after Thanksgiving because it was a holiday week. We sent one the week before that covered 2 weeks. And then we'll send one again tomorrow that's also going to cover 2 weeks because next week we don't have calls because I'm away.
Okay. The other thing that I'm noticing is that I rely, I guess because you guys taught me to rely on that month at a glance calendar in the INE site. And it doesn't seem like that's been consistently updated.
Yeah, we should check that because I don't look at it very often on my calendar because it just makes my calendar look too busy and I have double entry. But that's what they're supposed to be, like Jazzy and Michelle.
I like it because everything is there instead of me trying to plow through my emails, trying to figure out where I've seen this and where I've seen
that.
Well,
there's also a list. So on the site, right on the same page as that, there's a list in time order, and I'll show it to you guys because I think...
Oh, maybe I don't know about that.
Important to know about. Let me see if I can find it. All right. So... Okay, none of them are open. Let's see. There's so many things open, but let's see what. Hopefully it'll let me in. All right, so if I go to schedule upcoming calls, and then at the top it says NEPT, INE office hours, NEPT, and then it has the others, the advanced clinical resources. And if you click on NEPT calls.
I totally forgot them.
Yeah, and then they're in order. So last November call is this one, and then the December calls, and then the January call. Usually we put 3 months in there.
Probably. I just totally forgot about that.
Right, so we still do
ask. Thanks, appreciate that.
And we decided to, you know, since there was this, we already had the case study. I don't know if anybody submitted, but figuring we could do open coaching then instead of adding another call. Because I'm really, the last 2 weeks in December, I traditionally just, I don't schedule any calls. I try to actually catch up with Christmas shopping, my kids, rest, projects that are built up that I never get a chance to do, all that sort of stuff.
Well, I do have something to ask about.
Sure.
My
stop my share. Okay. What's up?
Well, and I've got it in the Google Drive, but I did the labs from Hopkins, and remember it had the strange number with the creatinine kinase?
Mm-hmm.
Which showed my numbers like 1,548. And so I went in to Direct Labs and had it redone with the ISO enzymes, and my numbers were more like 67. So why is there?
Well, there must have been a lab error. Whenever there's a weird number, I'm surprised they didn't redo it, because it seems so far, something so far out of range. It's either a reporting error, like when, like, I think he puts it on his own. He's something that puts it on his own form rather than the quest form.
Another question was that when I went to Direct Labs the first time, because I had to do it twice, they sent it back, the lab back form back to him saying this wasn't frozen. And so when they did it again, they had to freeze it. But that was not on any of the information that it needed to be frozen. So I'm wondering if he didn't do a frozen, you know, I don't know what they did.
I wonder. Yeah. I mean, you would think the lab would know that. Like, they have a list of all the tests and the requirements.
Yeah. Well, I actually showed low on the muscle part of it.
Now, let me ask you this, though. So sometimes the CPK can show really high if you just exercised that morning and it, no. That happened to my husband once, and I'm like, what the heck? Yes. So, you know, you're scared of cardiac stuff, right? So I looked and I went, did you run? Because that was in the days when he would run. Yeah, of course I ran, and then I went to the lab. Okay, that's why, because it'll raise it, because there's muscle breakdown in there. But you didn't do anything like that.
And mine was actually low. It wasn't high. So
yeah, I would say there was probably a lab error, and I would report that to him and let him know that.
Yeah. Well, and also, I don't know what the low muscle breakdown would be, you know, because I couldn't find it when I looked it up, what that means.
Usually, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, sometimes, like, for example, any of the enzymes, like all the liver enzymes, traditionally in medicine, if they're low, they just go, oh, you're good and healthy. We go, well, functionally, what we need is B6 to keep it within what we think was a normal range, or zinc or whatever. So I don't know if there's anything functional related. You know, we all know, everybody knows about in functional medicine about B6 related to AST, ALT, GGT even, and then zinc related to alkphosphatase. I don't know. I'm going to look that up real quick to see if there's something.
I couldn't find anything that really said what low meant.
You generally won't find it in any you know, medical. What does a low value mean? Let's see.
Yeah.
Not so much of anything. Here, look, significance of low creatine phosphokinase values in patients. Here's a Medline article. Frequently low in people with connective tissue diseases. Geometric means were 96 among 121 disease-free males and 50 among 63 disease-free females. They were 31 in 11 males and 35 in 49 females with lupus. So what is, and then they give numbers for Sjogren's, et cetera. What was your number?
I believe it was an 81.
81 is still within the healthy range.
Yeah, that's what I said. Nothing made any sense. I couldn't find anything that was out of range.
Yeah, so it wasn't low, like it wasn't extra low. So they're saying, like, it looks like numbers in the 30s might be indicative of some sort of autoimmune, you know, connective tissue type thing, but in the 80s seems to be in the normal range.
I just thought it was because of the muscle stuff going on in my shoulder that it might be doing something strange.
Well, I would expect it to be high. If there's muscle deterioration or breakdown, I would expect it to be high,
exactly.
Which is when you said it was high, then, you know, but I would let them know that it sounds like there was an error.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. Because usually a lab, if it's something that's that far out of range, right? Like thousands versus in the, you know, double digits.
He highlighted it in red. I mean, it was obvious.
Yeah. So. But usually it's like an alarm thing. Because I know when, I think it was for Diana, when her numbers came back and they were in an alarm range, he personally called her and said, hey, you know, here's what you know, what's going on, asked her a lot of questions, gave her some stuff. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's worth letting them, and you're in their Facebook group, maybe even ask on the Facebook group.
Okay.
You know, and what kind of things could cause that to happen, or if it's just a reporting error. They probably still have samples. I'm sure labs usually do keep those samples for some length of time anyway. I don't know how long, that they could freeze them and run them again.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I would do. Yeah. Who else? I saw Louisa came on. I see Susan came on and Eva came on and Alma. Valerie was on before. So, hey, everybody. Who has questions? Who has something to share? Who wants to share a success? Who wants to talk about a case?
I'll share. Sorry, it's Alma.
Hi, Alma.
Sorry, I can't turn on my video because I'm sitting in my sauna.
Wow, I've done it in my sauna.
But I'm naked.
You're naked in your sauna. No, don't turn on it. I wear my clothes in my sauna.
Oh, really? Oh.
Well, I have the half sauna. It only goes up to like, you know.
Oh,
here.
Okay. I have the infrared. So I'm detoxing while I'm getting the EMFs from the phone, right?
Right. Very good. At least you've got some balance going on there.
Yeah, well, success. And Lynn knows I finally submitted my IRSPT case studies today.
Woo! I saw it come in. I'm so excited for you. Yay!
I mean, I finished with these clients months ago and I was just like putting it off. I'm such a procrastinator and it was on my vision board to do it by the end of the year. And now I'm like, okay, just freaking do it.
Just do it. Yes. And I'm
telling you, your IRSPT alone is like much harder than some entire certification programs.
I know. I know. Well, we want to make sure when you have our certification on your website that it means that you've been vetted and you know your stuff. And yeah. I just am really opposed to people who you run through a program, you answer 10 questions, and now you're certified in something. What the hell?
Yeah.
It kind of dilutes the whole concept.
Yeah.
Right? When we do, and you know, those of us who have professional licenses, you know, we've had to go through hell to get those. You know, we had to really prove ourselves. So,
and you're making us work. So, yeah, I feel really comfortable with the blood sugar stuff, with the IRSBT. I'm teaching that with every client, no matter what they come for. And I'll be glad to have that done. And my next step will be the CMDS. I have one down and I just need one more case for that.
Right. And then you'll be on your way to the NEPT one.
I am. My goal is by the end of next year to get the NEP. That's going to be on my vision board.
Great. Awesome. 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 You know, the tests, we went back through, Lynn and I were just going back through to see how many people were close in terms of the tests. There's two modules that aren't completely finished yet, but nobody except for Drina and Jan and Michelle Gamble, we're even close. So it's like, come on, guys, let's get this. And, you know, it's meant to be like do the module, do the test, do the next module. Right?
Yeah.
So it's fresh in your mind. And then, you know, we haven't done our final exam thing yet, did we?
Yeah. I think it's because it's so many, so it's overwhelming. But now it's like I'm breaking it down into chunks.
Yes.
And I'm going to set goals for like this quarter, like next year, I'm going to finish this many. And then break it down by months and by weeks and just do it. And I'm having an accountability partner back on because that's what worked for me when I started doing them. So, hopefully we will by the end of next year.
You will. And we're going to help you with accountability next year. So starting in January, we're going to do basically a review. It's a review, but it's new for some folks, right? So we're going to go through each of the modules in monthly, like here's the summary of this module. Here's what's clinically relevant. Here's how you can clinically use it. And just, we're hoping that inspires people to just go back and take the test if you've already been through it, or if you need to get stuff again, do it. And, mm-hmm. if it's on a kind of a schedule, it might be a little bit more. And then Lynn's adding quarterly.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Just quarterly little check-ins, right?
Oh, nice.
I kind of did one this afternoon with somebody that she's an IRSPT, and we were talking about the Digestive Mastery course, and she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting through IRSBT, and, you know, just opened up the calendar. It's like, okay, here, you can do a chunk here and a chunk here. And, you know, and like you said, it's breaking it down into those bite-sized chunks.
Right. And that's what we tried to do with the videos. I mean, the videos are all under, like, well, they're try to be under an hour, but they're somewhere around an hour. Like the CMDS does have more hours of video content than IRSPT.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important. I mean, it's super important. I just think it's doing you a disservice and the clients a disservice if I teach you protocols. Okay, here's a digestive thing. Here's what you do for ulcers. Here's what you do for leaky gut. Here's what you do. I just give you protocols without having you have the understanding of what's really going on. Because if you notice on a lot of our calls when people bring up labs, the people haven't read the textbook. Right? They don't know what the pattern is supposed to be. And suddenly their labs look different than the typical patterns. And if you don't understand the underlying physiology, biochemistry, you can't go, what the heck's going on here? How can we figure this out? Right? And we don't want to just do the this for that, right? Even if it's a natural therapeutic, we don't want to throw homeopathic, an herb, a supplement at things. We want to understand so we can help people to get to the root. So I think it's super important. And I basically have just taken what I think are the most important pieces of the many years of education that I had and got rid of the fluff. Like, you don't have to remember the specific left lobe, right lobe, you know, the little birth spots, you know, what the names of all the little lobules in the liver are, because who cares, right? But you want to understand the process. That's the part that always like stumped me, and I'm like, now I got to memorize this, because I was a math computer science person. Never had to memorize. I just had to understand how everything fit together and then just throw it together. And when I started to do anatomy, it was like scary having to remember all these little tiny spots. But when we tie it together the way we do with physiology, biochemistry, pathophysiology, right? That functioning, the anatomy is a small part of it. The anatomy is so you know that where's the stomach located? What are some of the things that can happen to damage its lining and all this sort of stuff. So I appreciate that it's hard, but I want it to be hard, but not impossible, not super hard like it was for me. When I took my boards the first time, well, no, I only took it once. I was determined only 25% of people passed the whole board. 25% of the whole state of California that took it when I took it passed it. And people had to go back and retake things. And a lot of it was a lot of crazy, stupid stuff, like memorization of stuff that wasn't clinically relevant. And when a lot of people got tripped up on the case that I had, because they right away wanted to say it was low back pain and it was a kidney stone. So that tripped up a lot of people. But anyway, we're not trying to trip you up. The questions in the tests are not meant to confuse you. It's meant to pull out the salient and clinically relevant points that we think that you really need to know. So that's the story. And there is an exit interview with me for the NEPT thing. And Lynn kind of got away with it because she has her exit interviews with me every day, all the time, right? So we didn't have a formal let's hear have it, but that will be part of what you do. And, you know, we'll just kind of sit around and talk about stuff. And
wow.
Yeah.
The day I get that, it's going to be like, it's going to mean more than all of my college and everything to get to put together.
Awesome. That's wonderful to say. Thank you.
Yeah. Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
Have you done any evaluations or figured out how the Zoomers work yet?
I haven't had many. I mean, I've had a couple of the Zoomer tests done. I've looked at the one that has some of the leaky gut markers, some of the ones. No, I haven't really done many. This is just my bias. Things that just test antibodies, I don't really give a lot of credence to, right? But they have functional markers in there. There's a couple of them that have functional markers. And I have this stack of test kits at my house that they gave me that I have been planning to run on me and my husband and whoever else I can get them run on. But I haven't.
Yeah. Well, I got mine done and I just don't quite know what to do with it.
Well, upload it and let's look at it. We can do that on the next call.
Okay. I was going to call them and ask them on some of them because some things didn't seem to jive. Some said high, some said low on the same thing. So I wasn't really sure.
Let's do that. Let's make it a point. I don't know if anybody's submitted cases yet for the case study call, but you can go ahead and submit it for that. That's like, I think the 12th of December. I think I love the opportunity.
I'm sorry. Could I just pipe in for a quick sec?
Sure.
From what I understand about those Zoomer tests is that you get a 1 hour consultation with a nutritionist from the lab. So you might want to look into that, Lynn.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that would be really valuable for all of us when you bring it onto the call.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll call them.
Right. Take good notes. Yeah, and we'll discuss it and we'll see what makes sense.
Okay.
The other one that I've seen a few, but I'm not 100% sure how to make clinical relevance from is the Viome. Because they give you pages and pages and pages of organisms, and they give you your percentage and the healthy population percentage and the average population percentage, but there's no indication of what all these organisms are and what they mean, and is it clinically relevant to have an elevation or low? It doesn't even say, the way that the doctor's data does, normal flora, commensals, and pathogenic. So you don't even designate them that way. So I get a little confused about that. And then they go and say, according to your report, you shouldn't eat this, you should eat this, these are your superfoods, these are your stay away from foods, but there's no explanation of how they figured that out, right? So for me, it almost feels like parlor tricks, you know, like, oh, let's just do something and we'll just die. And I don't like to just take somebody's word for something. Looking, you know, if I look at a doctor's data test, I'm seeing, okay, there's this organism, oh my gosh, Klebsiella, we know that Klebsiella is problematic and you've got high levels of it, and this could be, and we should be looking at trying to get rid of it and creating an inhospitable environment for it. When there's like four or five pages of lists of organisms that there's nobody except a microbiologist, and even some microbiologists may have no idea, are they gram positive, gram negative, what kind of organisms are they even, and what's the clinical relevance and significance? And that's the part that I think they need to improve on before I would use it as a clinically useful tool. I mean, you certainly get the test done and say, well, I'm going to try it. They said, these are my superfoods and these are my stay away from foods. Try it and see how you feel. But then I had somebody who had that and she tried it, but she couldn't eat some of the stuff they said were her superfoods because she had a histamine reaction from them. So I don't know. And then somebody else asked on one of the sites, what about this test that you run it, a hair test, and it's going to tell you your vitamin and mineral status and other kinds of things. So I'm like, okay, let me see the science. How are they doing this? How are they figuring this out? How is hair an indication of your vitamin C status? As far as I know, vitamin C doesn't get put out in your hair. You know, it gets pooped out or peed out and that's it. So you can certainly look at a 24-hour urine and get an idea of a vitamin C status, but hair. So I don't know. We have to be very cognizant that there's a lot of stuff coming out, and that's where functional medicine, right, gets a bad rap from, you know, the quackbusters in conventional medicine, because they're looking for anything they could to knock it down, right? How can you show that this, whereas something like the oat test, where there's pictures of biochemical pathways, and we know that if this particular number is high, its downstream metabolites are going to be low, and we can assume that there might be a B2 deficiency or whatever, because it makes sense to me, and I really like to look at tests that make sense to me. Anyway, just my ranting. Anybody else? Questions, comments?
Well, you know, just to add to what you're saying, Dr. Rita Marie, I think that with the advent of all these new labs and fancy tests that they're doing, that they need to offer interpretations for people to, you know, continue to buy into the concept of the test. They need to educate practitioners about what the test results mean, because then how are they going to pass it on to other clients?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they have to educate with science. Like when I first started doing, let's say, the Meridian Valley, which I used to do before Dutch came out, 24 hours, it tested all the metabolites. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? I don't understand it. So I got on the phone with them and they started explaining to me, but they were explaining the whole, you know, the pathways and all that. And then as I did that, the more I did it, I'd get on the phone and go, okay, here's what I'm seeing so far. They go, wow, yeah, that's exactly right. Is there anything I'm missing? Well, this might be that. Or typically when we see this, we often look at thyroid or whatever. Great. So every time I had one of those interpretations, it made sense and it added to my education. And now I can just look at them and go, oh, right, this is what's going on. But it wasn't like that 5 years ago when I first started doing those. So I think when they educate, they can't just say, oh, this means vitamin C is low, so take this vitamin C, and this means this is low, so take this, because that just becomes a this for that approach, right? And we don't want that. I want to understand. So if they're giving that, I'd love to have one of those consultations with the Zoomers and find out what are they saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Good.
They actually have some really good informational webinars or whatever you want to call them now and then. So if you can get on there, Vibrant does. Mm-hmm. So I would get on their mailing list. And
yeah, I get the notice of them. I just hardly ever get a chance to watch them. I keep saying
I never get to watch them live. I always get the replays. And
yeah. And then Dutch has a lot of those too. Dutch has a lot of education on their site. And then I was chatting with somebody whose name you'd recognize if I said it, but he was saying he's skeptical about Dutch, not because he's skeptical about the pathways and the way it works, just because they haven't done a whole lot of clinical trials. And I'm like, okay, but you know, that's a good thing to do. But his skepticism was, well, they don't have like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people that they've done these clinical trials and compared. And, you know, I think they have not clinical trials, but they have people who they've put thousands and thousands and thousands of people through these and seen patterns, and the patterns kind of make sense. And to me, anyway, in my understanding of the science, and we found some interesting things in them, right? We find people with aromatase deficiencies. We find people, or excesses, not deficiencies necessarily, but then we found, who was it? I think it was Isabel's client. I can't remember, but who we're looking at, it's like, we usually see 5-alpha reductase excess. This was a 5-beta reductase excess. I'm like, what the heck is that? So we started searching and found it's a relationship to fatty liver. And when we brought that up with her, she goes, oh, that explains it, because she has this problem with her liver. So, you know, it clinically makes a lot of sense. But it's all, there's nothing that's absolute, right? So we just have to understand how the body's working, how the mind's working, how the mind affects the tissue, and work on them and remove their obstacles. And there's still so many people out there who are having people do tests and then giving them something to eat or take, but not looking at their overall. The person's still, you know, eating sugar and eating processed food, but they're doing these particular supplements to try to correct an imbalance on a thing. And I just don't think that works. I hear it a lot from colleagues, and they're struggling themselves, some of them, with their own health, but I watch what they eat and drink, and it's not good. And they don't want to hear that you shouldn't do that. So they don't tell their patients that they shouldn't do that, Lynn.
So this kind of brings up something I was talking with somebody about earlier today. And it comes from a sense of overwhelm that our clients may end up having. And it could be part of our own overwhelm with everything. But there are all these tests and things and, you know, all this glamorous and whatever type stuff. But I actually like to start my clients with the assessments, besides the fact that they're free. But see, not everybody does that. Mm-hmm. So many people, well, let's just jump right in into the deep end of all the flu tests.
That's a typical functional medicine approach. You go to see a functional medicine MD who used to be an allopathic MD, and of course, there's still a lot of the old mindset there. So they run $500 or $1,000 worth of tests. And then you get $500 or $1,000 worth of tests back, and you get overwhelmed because you're like, where do I start?
Right.
Instead of using the process, like Allison was saying yesterday, she went and did a talk and all she did, like her whole talk was the pyramid thing and how all the stuff affects all the stuff and how we have to go down to the basics. And it was like people were fascinated with that. Right. And if we can always go back to that and say, let's clean up some things. Yeah. It's great. Blood test done, right? Because you want to rule out pathology, of course. But
again, you know, making it real simple. And this goes back to what the clients can help them kind of breeze through. It's like, all right, let's look at these assessments. They'll give us a guideline, and then we know if you need to do tests and which tests you might need to do. Mm-hmm. And then once they do the tests, or even meantime, you don't send them with a list of supplements, maybe one or two, and something that they can do and achieve. And it might be drink some water.
Yes.
So you're drinking your water. And
sleep. Breathe.
Or just breathe. And the thing that happens with that, which is why the foundations are so important, is that they can do it and they feel successful. Mm-hmm. And they're more likely to be compliant to do the next thing. And which might be to walk in sunshine. I don't know. It's just when you do the things, they don't have to sit there and go, okay, it's 2 o'clock. I need to take these supplements. Oh, wait, I should have done it on an empty stomach and I ate something.
Oh, my God. And some of that stuff adds so much anxiety to them that it creates these cortisol surges because they're worried about, did I take it right? Did I do it right? Oh, I took iron. And did I take it too close to magnesium? And let's just forget it. Let's just take it. When you eat a food, it has a lot of stuff in it. So, yeah, there might be certain things that interfere. You don't want to take high doses of iron and magnesium together because they can interfere. But they're not going to completely negate each other, right? They're just going to be a little less. And we're taking so damn much in these supplements that it probably doesn't matter. But food is a complex thing. There's no food that is just magnesium or just iron or just zinc. And yes, if somebody has a functional zinc deficiency, I like to get them to take a liquid zinc on an empty stomach before they take anything. So it has more absorptive, chances. It's, right. It's not a better chance to get in there. And but all those rules are too much.
Right. And then it does, and then you don't know what's working or what's not working. So it's like, okay, take these things. Let's track and see how it works.
And that's the key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
tracking, getting them to take the time and focus and track, because if they don't track, they have no idea what's affecting them.
They have no idea. The next thing you know, they're spending half their budget on supplements, driving themselves crazy, taking the supplements all day, feeling guilty because they only took 2 doses instead of 3. And they're not getting better, not because the protocols aren't working, is because this thing, right? I had an interesting call with somebody yesterday. It was one of the gold people. And we started with just kind of reviewing some of her background history. And turns out she has this bad shoulder thing. And, you know, anyway, I just really got into, how's this affecting your life? What are some of the things that you can't do right now that you'd like to be doing? And we went through and we listed these like very simple activities of daily living that she's not able to do because of lack of strength or pain or whatever. And she said, I don't know what my goals are. My mom wants me to be, when are you going to be driving again? When are you going to be doing this again? I said, okay, when are we? Let's just set some goals. And we set a very simple 3-month goal that she could have the strength to be able to pick up her Vitamix container and use it without help. And we talked about some simple activities of a stool, you know, up on the counter so she didn't have to lift it so high, right? And just simple things like that. And then we started talking about, and this is because I have a background in physical medicine, you know, I talked about and I showed her some simple exercises that weren't going to throw her off track and just a few simple things. And then as I went through her lab, all we did was go through her, the lab tracking sheet, right? The one that has all the columns. And every time I'd get to one, I'd stop and I'd talk about it. Well, here you've got three indicators of low protein. Let's talk about how much protein are you actually getting? Well, you seem to be getting a fair amount for a person of your size. Let's talk about absorption. And then I went to her little sheet that I was keeping track of and wrote a few notes. And from each of those little things, we ended up talking about so many different lifestyle and diet things that were simple. She goes, wow, I never thought about that before. Oh, wow, I can't wait to do that. Yes, I can do that. But they all came out of the lab. So using that very simple lab to assess some things that might be out of balance and then teach some very simple things that they could do. I didn't come up with this long list of supplements. I came up with a list that had a lot of little things which we talked about, you know, phasing in, but I think there were only two supplements that were on there, right? And this is a person who's very sensitive to supplements, so I had to be real aware. And it just taught me, she loved it. We talked for over 2 hours. It was supposed to be an hour and a half, but it was over 2 hours. I wrote to her, I gave her her notes, and she wrote back a beautiful note about how happy she is to have found us. And this has been going on for so long, and it's only started to get better since she started working in ERC. And she was so grateful. It was just little simple things that we think are obvious that they don't see and that they can do. Everything I gave her, she could do within the scope of her limitations. And what it did was, in addition to give her some practical things, it gave her a little belief. It gave her belief that she could heal. And we talked a little bit about that. Do you believe you can heal? Do you believe that this is a permanent limitation? Let's start to talk to that. And I actually, this is a glorifying type thing. I said, okay, let's just get some energy into those shoulders because both their shoulders are problematic. So we had her do this and I just said, cross over. Do you feel the energy? Yeah, I feel the energy. So just put them over your shoulders and close your eyes. And just breathe a few times. And envision this healing light, energy, warmth going into your shoulders and helping them to heal. That was so simple. She said, oh my God, I can do that. I said, just do it all throughout the day. And the other thing I said, set an alarm on your phone. Not an alarm like blah, 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 those horrible ones that make you just jump out of your skin. I said, find a little twinkle, twinkle, you know, a little beautiful note that you can play once an hour. And when it goes off, all you do is you stop, breathe, you think about something you appreciate, and then you go on with the rest of your day. If you're not in a place where you can close your eyes, just do it. And I said, look, I could do it without closing my eyes. Can you do that? Oh, yeah, what a great idea. Simple, simple little things like that that empower them to access the inner healing that they have but they forget is there. And they've become so discouraged. And those kind of little things have been overlooked for a long time. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that because I really felt I would find out if she's open to, I don't know if she would be, maybe just sharing the audio version, not the video, because I don't know how, you know, it was a private call. So, but some of those things I think would be really helpful for everybody to just see. Like I would love to be able to take somebody who I don't really know much about and do the case, not from the way we do them, like typically like the learning way and, oh, I'm doing this for that. But just to do it, you know, and just really be in my connection. Because a lot of times when you just drop into connection, you get messages of what to say it, how to listen, how to respond that touch them so deeply. But so many times we're in our head. Am I saying it right? Did I ask this right? Did I do this right? And then we lose that connection to what we really know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, because this is not a science only. There's science and there's art and there's intuition. And it all has to work together. That's what integrative, holistic really means. Holistic doesn't mean that you use herbs and supplements and food. It means that we look at the whole person on all levels. And there are times when I've had the feeling to just say, is there something else that you haven't told me? If that I haven't read yet in your history, is there anything else that you think might be important for me to know? And have people break down and share something they've never shared with anybody before, you know? And that just accelerates their healing because now they're not hiding it and it's not like weighing in and changing their tissue and making them unable to heal. So we just have to it's just such it's such a practice, and it takes just letting go of expectations. And, you know, my left brain is like, we aren't looking at our labs, and you're not, you know, and I just let go. And I'll address that if that comes up. I'll say, you may be wondering, how did we get to this discussion from your labs? Oh, that was because we were talking about this and it led here. All right, now let's go back there and let's see what else we can uncover. And every single thing we found in her labs ended up being like a 10, 15 minute discussion of all kinds of cool lifestyle things that she could be doing that were simple, that she felt empowered with. And it's also tuning into the individual and really hearing them. Really hearing them, really hearing their fears and what's getting in the way, and going at the pace for them. I get on the phone with some of these folks who are the heady guys. You know, we're popping out this and that, and because that's what they're needing at that point. That's what I'm sensing they're needing. But some of these folks, if you do that, you've lost them. Don't try to impress them with how smart you are, because you lose them. Any questions or comments about that? Am I totally off base?
No, I'd actually wanted to kind of emphasize a point that you made, especially in terms of feeling and her goals. Is so many times people just don't want to hurt, and they don't. That's their goal, but that's not very concrete. It doesn't really address the why. You know, if you ever watch that Simon Sinek with the why, it's like, what? Okay, fine, I get it. You just want to feel better. So if you feel better, what would you do? What could you see yourself doing? Mm-hmm. And really getting people into the feeling of doing something that they wanted to do, whether that's just walking around the block or getting a hug from one of their grandkids. And so if you take that image, that goal, and have them really get into the feeling of that,
yep,
that is going to propel them to want to do all those small little action words, because they feel it. It's not just a brain thing.
That's
it's
right.
In their body and their tissues.
That's right.
And so they know. And that is so important for us. Yep. That is so important for us to help our clients with.
I'm going to say, you know, I have just been listening to this book. And I forget the name of it. I think it's like The Miracle Mindset something. Let me see. Let me just find the name of it. But I've been listening to it, and he's going into taking the why. And he said he learned this, you know, from somebody. I forget who he learned it from. I'll have to give him credit. Millionaire Success Habits. And he talks about the 7 levels of why. That he said it's not 5, it's not 9, but he's been doing this. He learned this from somebody, and he's been playing with it. And you can't get away with 3 or 5. And he said, like, in the first, usually the first 3 to 5, and why do you want that? And why do you want that? They're in the head. And then suddenly they drop into their heart. And then we know we have it. They may fill up. They may start to pause, or their voice gets cracky. Then you know you're getting close. So it's like, okay, so I just want to feel better. Oh, so you're telling me that you just want to feel better. Why is it that you want to feel better? Well, because my shoulders hurt too much, and I can't lift up my grandchildren. I want to be able to lift up my grandchildren. Wow. So you're saying that you don't want to hurt anymore so that you can lift up your grandchildren. Why do you want to be able to lift up your grandchildren? Wow. Because there's just such a feeling I get when I'm with my kids and my grandchildren, and I feel like I'm contributing. I feel like they're giving back, and there's this unconditional love. Great. So there's unconditional love. Why is there? And he said, you always repeat back the previous levels that they've said. And he said, well, why is it that it's so important to you to feel that connection with your grandchildren? And then they may drop into, because I never want to feel unloved again in my life. Oh, so you never want to feel unloved again in your life. Why is that? Tell me more about that. When I was 15 and blah, 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 this happened, and I felt like nobody loved me, and I was left on the streets, and I had to be on my own, And I never want that for myself, and I never want that for my grandchildren. And you just keep that, they dropped into feeling, right? And you can keep going deeper until you get to the main thing. And then you go, that's the reason. And that's what's going to drive them. And he told many stories about, because he's coaching people on business stuff, how you get there and you get them into that feeling state. And suddenly there's just so much emotion around that. You know, and one guy went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And it was like, I was a screw up. My mom died. I was a drug addict. I was this. And after that, I changed my life. And I want to make my mama in heaven proud. I want her to see that she raised a good kid. You know, and that was the deep thing. And that's what drove him to really push himself and keep his business going. And when we can get to that why, I'm going to try to find his worksheets and see if we can do a little workshop about that, because I think it would be so cool to really get to that. And he said when he did it for himself, he thought he knew what his why was. He thought he knew what his why was, and he kept going down. And it had to do with, I need to be in control. I never want to be in the situation where I don't know where my next meal is coming from. I don't want my kids to be in that situation again. And he explained this whole thing that happened to him when he was a kid, you know, and that was his really deep thing. And I think when we can do that with people and take the time to do that with people and go, like, I have that power of why. I think I only go 3 deep, go 5 deep, 7 deep, right? And then you get to the nuggets. So good. Thank you for bringing that up. And I listen to my books. I don't read. I never have time to sit down and read. So I play them, and then it gives me good excuse for going and exercising, because I can exercise and listen to books at the same time. Like, I'm going to exercise for 2 hours today. Is it because I'm such a jock and I want my muscles stronger? No, I have 2 hours of book I want to listen to. That's both, actually. Who else? Anybody else? Does that trigger anything for anybody? No? Questions, comments?
Well, not so much that it triggers something. It's just encouraging that it's not all about head knowledge. Mm-mm. You know? It's about relationships with people.
That's a big piece of it.
Yeah.
Huge piece of it. If you don't know something, you can always come back to them and say, you know, that's a really great question. I'm not sure why that pathway is doing that. I'm going to go do some research and I'll get back to you. But the connection piece, you can't get back to them on. You have to do it right there in the moment. You have to listen to their pain and reflect it back so they know that somebody's really listening. Right? And if you try to discount it, oh, don't worry, I had that happen to me, and, you know, you'll be okay. You're not listening to their pain and letting them work through their pain. So you can delay the head knowledge. You can say, I'll get back to you. Don't try to get back to them on making that connection and really being there and listening. Sometimes you're the first person they've said this to. Sometimes you're the only person that they could actually talk openly and honestly to. And you want to create that feeling, that ability to be that trusted soul that you can work with. We're going to be doing a webinar with Laura in a couple of weeks on something like that. Those skills you get to when people are getting into that self-sabotage. We'll announce that probably next week. I think it's just an important skill to have. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for acknowledging that. And you have both. You are smart. You pick things up quickly. You make connections. And you have a big heart. So don't be afraid to integrate the two. And don't expect you'll ever know it all. I have to say, I don't know, really. I have to go look it up. I knew that once, and I don't remember that exact pathway. Let me go look it up, right? And I do it right here on a call with people. Sometimes we're sharing screen, and I'm looking it up, and I'm like, oh, look at that. And they're going, what? Look at that. I think that explains it. And then I explain it to them. They're like, wow, that's so cool. Yeah, and don't be afraid to be real with people, because that's right. What we crave. Real and caring, that they know that you're there to help.
Well, and that's what can set us apart as practitioners, because there's so many out there that just are the this for that, and, you know, They just, yeah. They don't get the relationship piece.
Right. And it's hard if you're in the Western medicine model, because you get your 15 minutes if you're lucky, right? Allison would be timed at 9 minutes and get yelled at for, and she would always include a before and after hug in her 9 minutes. Okay. So she's like, I talk so fast. So, you know, it's just, that's the way it goes. Who said Alma had to go? Somebody. Bye, Alma. Yeah. All right. Who else? Any other questions or comments?
I went to my a new doctor the other day with my shoulder, the orthopedic doctor. Mm. I call him Doogie Howser. He looked all of 15. And I got a whole 5 minutes and a paper. That was about it.
Oh, Lordy.
And oh, we'll give you a steroid. No, you won't.
No.
So it's like, it's so sad.
I spent more time than that doing, and I wasn't even in person with her. I'm just asking her to do some stuff with me and doing an orthopedic evaluation on Zoom. And I said, oh, you need rhomboids. You need to strengthen your rhomboids, but you don't want to overdo it. Here's a couple of things. That's why my band is here. I took out my band. I said, you're going to start with nothing, but then just put it so that there's a little.
Well, he didn't talk to me. He was narrating it to somebody else in the room who was writing it all down.
Talk about connection, right? They're the ultimate in not making connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're just a number on a page. We'll just give you a steroid injection and send you on your way, little girl. Oh, sad. Yeah. It's sad. One of the things I do want to look more into is the stem cell and prolotherapy, because I know people are having some good results, especially with the stem cells into joints that have started to degenerate that actually triggers the regeneration. I met a couple of doctors in the Bahamas at a seminar I was teaching at, and they talked a lot about the stem cell stuff. I went to the beach most of the time when the other people were speaking, just to be really clear and transparent, but I spoke to people on breaks and found out, you know, and they're having a lot of good results, not so much with injecting stem cells, but also injecting specific compounds that are stimulating the body to produce more stem cells, which to me sounds more holistic, functional than, you know, and also getting it from yourself versus from somebody else, from another donor. So anyway, it's definitely a future thing. And I think it's, you know, for people who have these degenerated joints due to injuries and accidents, and sometimes it's congenital malformation that then over the years causes a deterioration. So it's certainly something to look at. Okay, anybody else? Let's see, Louisa came on. Who else came on that I haven't seen yet? Brandon, hi. Valerie, now we get to see which Valerie it is. It's Valerie T. Okay. Hey.
I have a question.
Sure.
I get into the most interesting conversations when I'm getting my hair done.
Mm, yeah, you've had a conversation another time like that, I remember.
Yes. And my stylist kind of thinks of me as her guru in certain ways. It gets kind of interesting. And her best friend came in, and they're both starting keto. Mm-hmm. So we had some interesting conversations with keto. Her friend has a little better understanding of nutrition than she does. But she's thinking of all of these weird things she can make with artificial Jell-O pudding and all this stuff. And so much stuff comes into my head in a situation like that. It's hard to know what to say. But what I said was, you've got to think about nutrition, your nutrient density. I said, there's a lot of variations of the keto diet. And if it tries to limit your green veggies, it's not a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get to just the basics to give them some stuff to go by.
Eat greens and whole food plant-based fat, and you'll go into ketosis really easily.
I did kind of say that, but not quite as well as you just did. But then especially my stylist, she goes off on all these weird things and talking. And I said, you know, and you don't want to just do meat and cheese and that kind of stuff.
Quite frankly, that will take you out of ketosis because it's too much protein.
And I mentioned that, and I told him, you know, why. But the thing is, I still don't do a very good job when I have a very small slice of time. there's so much to say. And it's like, how do you say the most important stuff? So this leads me to my question.
Valerie, you're doing great. Just don't get, cut yourself some slack. It takes a lot of practice. I still can go off and talk too much. But, you know, the more you just relax into it and know you have this wealth of knowledge and information and feel into what they're feeling, like you said, you know, this one knows a little bit about nutrition, so you can appeal to them on a nutritional level and a nutrient level. The other one may not. You may have to appeal to them on an appearance level or something like that. But it's just practice. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep talking about it and keep practicing, and the sound bites will start to come.
I think I'm getting a reputation for going off into this stuff.
It's good. So you are, and people are coming to you. So that's really good. You're the advisor, the trusted advisor at the hair salon.
Try to think, take a breather, think a little bit, and then try to think of the most potent things that I can say, because you can't hold their attention very long.
No, you can't. And you know, keto thing, it's really a matter of, the scary part about keto is, that'll get their attention. The scary part about keto, when I hear people say keto, is there's a lot of really dangerous versions of keto out there. That gets their attention, right? Now let me hear about that. Let me see if that's what I've been following. Okay. And they put people on a lot of meat and cheese, which actually takes you out of ketosis. So if you are going to do a keto diet, make sure you get a blood ketone meter, because you cannot say you're on a keto diet unless you've proven it with the blood ketometer.
Right. And I did mention that you do yours as plant-based keto.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a challenge.
Thinking everything has to be meat.
They do. And oil. I don't do oil. I just do whole food plant-based fats.
Right.
And lots of greens and vegetables. And I think that, and too much cooked cauliflower will take me out of keto. If I make cauliflower mashed potatoes and I eat too much of it, because it's cooked, it's broken down, and it's a little more starchy, it'll take me out of keto.
Wow.
So there's little stuff like that. So I'm going to be putting together a little, like a prelude to Sweet Spot, and it's going to be a green keto challenge. I think it's going to be 5 days or 7 days, just to take people through some stuff and just to change their minds about it, give them some ideas. There's a book, you'll see it in the newsletter tomorrow, that I just went through. It's called The Salt Fix, and it talks a lot about how when you are in ketosis, it depletes your salt, and you need to eat more salt, because if you don't, then it's going to raise your blood sugar, because you're going to go to gluconeogenesis. So all kinds of little stuff like that, fascinating stuff. So we're going to try to educate people about that.
Well, I was wondering, you did a really good talk on keto, I think this past summer.
Oh, that two day event. So I had a webinar leading up to it, and then I had a 2 day event. And the both of them talked a lot about keto.
Yeah, this was a standalone webinar. Yes,
the dangers of keto, plant-based, and whole, and the keto, paleo, and whole foods diet.
Right. Is there any way that we can get access to that?
Sure.
That's something I think would be a good resource to be able to pass on to people sometimes, or at least to review.
I think it's actually still up. I can look it up right now and give you a link.
I referred several people to it as it was up, and some of them missed it, but
yeah,
that was a really good talk.
I thought so. There were two of them, actually. I did one. I can't remember. One was The Hazards of Keto, Paleo, and Plant-Based Diets. And I think there was another one after that. I'm going to look in my ClickFunnels. That's where I hosted it. If I can reverse belly fat, it would have been Shine. I wonder if it was one of the Shine webinars too that I did. But the one in the summer is the one you're talking about. So let me find that. That's older. Okay. Webinar series 2018. I'll put the link into the chat here. I'll put the link that you can get directly to the replay, and I'll give you the one where people can sign up for it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay. So this one is the one. I think this is the. Yeah. So here's the registration if you want to share with somebody. And go ahead and just do me a favor and check it and make sure it still works. But I'm pretty sure it does. We always say we're going to take the things down, but then we forget about it and we move on to other things. And they stay up. So that's the registration one. And then if you want to just go in and see it directly, I'll give you that link too. And you can download it. We should put this on, Lynn, we should put this in as one of the resources or advanced topics or whatever. In the food religions, advanced topics on the food religion, or whatever, food principles module. We have so many webinars. I should just, you know, put them all in on the site in various places. So here's the thank you. And this one. Oh, whoops. Oh, yeah, it's still here. Food event starts. And it's on demand. So here's copy. Actually, they could just go here. So it's not like a downloadable at this point. It's just one of those, the webinar that plays every, if you get in there, it plays 15 minutes from when you got in there at the most, or you can sign up for a time. So you can try that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I should go in and edit it because it's on the end of it. It's talking about this seminar that happened in July. So I should edit that part out, but one day, someday. Yeah. And then let me just look real quick because I think there was one other that I did before Shine. And let me go back up here, ClickFunnels. And I'm pretty sure it was this one. Shine 2018. I should just edit that thing to say here, the thing is over, but here's the videos and just sell them the videos. That would be a good thing to do. So this is Shine Sales Page, Shine Venue. I thought there was a webinar in here.
What are you looking for?
The seminar, I thought I did for, before Shine, I thought I did some genetic stuff on, oh, here, the web, I clicked the wrong one. Okay, opt-in Shine Preview webinar. I think this was on keto as well. No, that was on genetics. Let me see. Opt-in replay. No, it was on genetics. So that's the one you're thinking about. Okay. We had 210 people, or 240 by the next morning, sign up for the two-day live stream from that webinar. It was so like a third of the people on it bought it. It was like, I've never had any such response as that before. It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. Good questions. Just keep it up. You're like Susan, you have that combination and you doubt yourself, right? But you have that ability. You're really smart. You have that good left brain and you're getting more and more in touch with your right as you work through the Laura program.
Well, as somebody who works with Valerie, mm-hmm. and Valerie is my co-coach,
right.
I can tell you that she is brilliant, and the pearls just drip out from her. So what I had wanted to tell you is that you are probably giving them more than you realize. And we all tend to do this. It's like, oh, I haven't said anything. I haven't done anything. And they're sitting there going, their hair is blowing back because they're just blown away with everything that you've just shared. And so when I'm just offering that as for all of us, some uplifting words, because just because we think we haven't given anything doesn't mean that's the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you, I get on some of these webinars and I talk and I say the stuff that's like, you know, just pours out of my mouth. It's easy for me. And I think, oh, this is just like kindergarten stuff. Like, why are these people still listening? And then I listen back and I go, oh, wow, this is good stuff. So we take for granted the stuff that comes the easiest for us. And actually your gift, if you want to see what your gift is look at what comes the easiest for you. Mm-hmm. Like for me, one of my gifts is kitchen stuff, like making food. And I think, oh, I keep making this simple stuff and people are like swooning over it. What the heck? I have a gift. It comes so easy for me to just see ingredients, throw them together and make it taste good, right? So that's it. That's one of my gifts, right? Putting together a slide presentation that ties a lot of stuff together is one of those gifts. Who's that? We only see the chin. Hi. How are you?
That's my husband.
Hello. Nice to meet you, husband.
Oh, I'm so glad.
This is Henry.
Hi, Henry.
Do you know what a brilliant wife you have? You probably do.
Why do you think I've kept her so long?
Oh, dear.
See you all.
It's good to see you, too. It's awesome.
What a good call.
Yeah, so the stuff that just blows, like Lynn, you know, we'll get Lynn on a call and somebody will ask questions and I just ask a question. She's so quiet and then all of a sudden, like, just all this brilliant gems flow out of her mouth and we just don't see it. It's just the common, it's the human condition. We just don't see it because it comes so naturally for us. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, girl. Who else? Anybody else? Yeah, if not, we'll just call it a night.
I just have one last thing to say, and it fits with all of this. Because so we're all looking at ways we can build a business or work in our community or whatever, and we work at this, like, oh, I have to get a website and I have to do all these things. What's asked of you is right there. You don't really have to do anything. You just have to receive and be open to what's already there and being asked of you. Mm-hmm. And the more you're open and receptive to that, the abundance just flows in. And abundance doesn't always mean a big fat bank account, but it does mean that you're there to touch the lives you're supposed to touch.
Absolutely. Good point. And also, you know, take, you know, some of these gems that just flow, find a community center, a library, someplace locally, and just offer to do a free class and have people come. And at the end of the free class, you say, look, if you want to work with me, let's set up a time, sign up on here, and we'll talk about whether I could help you and support you. Or you offer a small class, you know, yeah. I'm going to be doing a 6-week, 3-week, 2-week food demonstration in my kitchen to show you how to make fermented foods and charge minimal amount the first couple of times you do it. Just get the people excited about it. My first classes in my kitchen were, I think we had like 8 or 9 people and I charged $25. And then I realized I can't buy the groceries for $25 times 9 people. It just wasn't going to pay, let alone pay for my time and the materials and the 30-page book I gave them. It was, you know, crazy. But we raised the prices and we started to go to $75 and get 27 people. And then we couldn't do it in my kitchen anymore. We had to do it elsewhere because people would tell their friends and tell their friends. And that's a great way to get in to people to help them with their nutrition, is to show them how to make yummy foods. I know Laura, what's her last name? Why am I Ricci? Laura Ricci does this a lot, especially around the holidays. And she'll just do take them in the kitchen and show them how to make some really yummy holiday treats to take to the parties. Right. And she's built her practice. She gets a lot of people from doing that. You know? Yeah. You just tell them, you have to make sure you tell them. So, if you're interested, you can either do a formal offer or if you're interested in talking to me about how I can support you in your health issues and incorporate really good foods like this and really help you, look at your labs, whatever, just reach out. Let's talk. Because I didn't do that when I was first doing my classes. And I remember a guy called me about his wife who had Crohn's disease and had come to one of my classes. And he called me and goes, we need help. Can you help us? I've been trying to get some alternative help for my wife with this Crohn's disease. And we started seeing this naturopath in town. And they are awful. And they have her on these $300 worth of, you know, every week worth of supplements. And she's getting worse. And do you know who can help her? Can you refer me to somebody who can help her. I said, well, I can help her. Because what? Because, yeah, I said, I do. That's what I do. Because why didn't you tell us that when we were in the class? We wouldn't have wasted our time and money going to these other people. We would have come right to you because we trusted you. So you got to let them know, right? You build up a rapport and then they want more. You have to let them know that you can give them more. And it's a great way to start. That's how my business restarted when I moved from California, closed down my office, came back here, slowly built up. That's how I did it. Long before I had online programs. And then we just gradually built it up.
I have done a lot of community ed classes in the area. I actually, my youngest daughter does competitive dance, and every place I'd go, I would stop like at a health store or wherever and meet whoever was in charge of it and set up classes because I'm going to be there anyway. And so I would teach classes. Now, one of the things that worked really well, too, because you have it in both the digestive module as well as the blood sugar module, is you have a done-for-you PowerPoint presentation. And it's editable. You can edit the slides. And so all you have to do is show up and show this PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. You can have food there because you always have to have food there. And I was talking to somebody else earlier, and I said, you know what you could do for the blood sugar one? You can have food there. You can show how to make food, but bring glucose meters. And,
and Isabel does.
Yeah, you do it first, then right before you eat, and then you have this food, you eat, and then you take your blood sugar, and then you take your blood sugar, and you just
how glycemic food affects them, but then you might have some, you know, have them bring something or have some dates or, I don't know, some foods that have some honey in them or something and see if that makes a difference. Because I know Isabel does that. If you do that, make sure that you get the disposable lancets.
Right.
And you can get them on Amazon or in Walgreens or whatever, because you don't want to, even if you alcohol wash it, we did that at our first SIV. We didn't know any better, and we just had them change the needle, wipe off with alcohol the things, and we passed them around to 100 people. And when I was talking to a friend, an MD friend, and she goes, no, don't do that anymore. He said, there's a chance that there's some blood still squirted onto that lancet, and don't do it. You can, if anybody has a problem, they can get you for it. I'm like, oh. So we bought the little disposable lancets. You can still use the meter because strips, you know, you throw away the strips. But yeah, so I learned that the hard way. Nobody, fortunately, had a problem. But if there's any, you know, Snopes in there, right? Somebody in there that came to sneak up on me and get me in trouble, I could have gotten in big trouble. Big trouble. And we had some MDs in the room and nurses, but nobody really, they didn't care. They're, you know, I remember one of our people in our program who's a physician's assistant. And we were somewhere where we were all testing our blood sugar and tested and then went to test again. And I went, don't watch. I'm going to just use the same needle again. I'm not changing it. She goes, oh, I haven't changed mine in months. I'm like, oh, good. Because I thought she was going to come down on me because of the medical, like, you got to change the lancet every time. I have so many thousands of lancets from all the meters I've bought. And I literally, you know, change it every few months when it starts to get dull. Not that I'm saying that's the right thing to do, but I'm just saying that, you know, anyway, but that's a great idea though, because it can introduce the whole blood sugar concept. And you can say, look, see how nice and steady this kept your blood sugar, right? If we were to do something, encourage you to get your own blood sugar meter and start testing some of the foods you generally eat and see if you can keep it. This is right in the range we want to keep it. And if somebody's high when they first start, then you have a conversation with them, say, look, there's some issues going on here. And, you know, you're heading to, or you are in a pre-diabetic range. And this is something that, you know, you need to address. And you can do this with food. And you teach them how. And you have your IRSPT certification. You say, well, I'm a certified insulin resistance coach. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to head out, and we're done early, 8:15. Yay. Not on a call till 10 o'clock. So we'll see. I won't see anybody next week. Lynn and Steph are going to be doing the vital Q&A call next week. It'll be in the newsletter tomorrow. So come and support them and ask them hard questions. No, don't ask them hard questions. They'll probably be able to handle them because they're both brainiacs. So what else is happening soon? Steph's going to be doing a webinar on making fermented foods. I'm going to do it with her on the 15th. It's on a Saturday. And that's in preparation for her new membership site, which I'm so excited about. I can't wait to do that with her. So that'll be, we should put that in the calendar, but she didn't give me an opt-in page yet for it. So we can't. I'm going to write to her right now and say, if you can get me by tomorrow morning, we can put the opt-in page in all of our newsletters. Cause I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be, you know, information, but also in the kitchen and showing stuff. What else is coming up? And the Vital Healing Kitchen, the last one of the year, is on the 15th, and we're going to do dressings and dips. And that's one of my favorite topics. Just that's because I don't use recipes. I just throw them together, and that's how I make my dips all the time and my dressings all the time. And some of you do that already, but I like to do that and then throw in some really cool stuff. So I did tonight. I threw some, usually like avocado I mashed with a fork, and I threw some in the blender, and I put in some lemon juice that was already made and some really cool kimchi salt that I really love. And I threw it in the blender, and it was so good. And it was like, I could have put some more water in it and thinned it and just poured it over salad, but instead I just ate it with a spoon. So anyway, it was like a pudding, a savory pudding. So anyway, that'll be happening. And then, that'll be our last call for the year, the 15th, because after that, I'm taking the time to just catch up, be with my boys. Found out my older son's coming home for like 3 or 4 weeks. So that's going to be really cool. And it'll be really nice. All right, guys, I'm going to unmute you all so you can say goodbye to each other. Thank you. For those of you who are quiet, if you want to turn on your cameras and say goodnight, I'd love to see you. And good to see, there's Louisa sitting in the dark. There's Eva. Kim. Hey.
Hey.
Hope this was helpful. Yes?
Always. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for always being here, Susan. Hey. Good to see you guys. And we'll see you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Brandon. There's Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Bye.
Yeah. I was thinking of you, Brandon, for some reason, and I can't remember what. Somebody brought some, I don't know, somebody that I thought would be a good candidate for you. So I'll think about it. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, Susan. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Louisa.
I got to tell you something. The architect gave us the plans today, and there is a room for you. It says for the health coach.
Right.
So, yes. Already drawn. Yay. So now I can even show you where your office is going to be.
I love it. Cool. So excited for you.
That's so exciting for both of you. It's a win-win. It's a win-win-win, right? Because the patient.
The reason I'm in the dark is I just got back a day ago from Italy and Germany, and I am finally jet lag hit me.
Oh.
So I'm like a zombie today.
Well, you go to bed. You go to bed because you might wake up at 3 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I've been all turned around. I was like 25 hours without traveling and without sleep. And then I had to go to work. And then last night we had a meeting. And today I'm dead.
Yeah, so. Go to bed. I went to bed when I get back from Italy. I went to bed at 9 thinking, okay, I'll sleep till 5 or something. And by 2, it was like, ding.
Yeah, I know. I've been so turned around.
Yep.
But the trip was wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad you had a good time.
Oh, yes. And because I was visiting my granddaughters and my daughter and her husband. Mm-hmm. It was really nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you go get some sleep so that you can be fresh in the morning.
Yes. Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Cool. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.